And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this week in September 2024. Now, I believe this is the fourth week of September. On the podcast today, we're going to be going to 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. Once again, 2 Samuel chapter number 8 and 1 Chronicles chapter number 18. Again, I do appreciate those who support the broadcast and the podcast with prayer and financial support and other ways. Just a word of encouragement every so often. I'll go to a meeting or I'll go to a funeral or visitations or whatnot, and people will come up to me and say, I listen to your broadcast every Saturday. And that helps me in ways you just don't understand. And with this podcast, I've been getting some feedback from it. It's slowly picking up and picking up more listeners slowly. I'm not one to count numbers. I'm not. Because each soul, as the song goes, just one more soul were to walk down that aisle, it's worth every trouble. It's ever worth every trial. It's worth every mile for one more soul. And so if one person listens and that person gets saved, it's worth it to have a podcast all the way around for one soul. It is. It's worth it. And Jesus would have died just for one soul because he died for you individually. He died for me individually. Yes, he died for all humanity, but we're individuals. He died for the whole and he died for the one. And because it took all of Jesus' blood for each one of us. That's a whole different series of broadcasts. Maybe one day. But for now, we're still looking at the life of David. And David has, again, just recapping where we've been before we go to the next chapter, David is now the king. He's been given rest from his enemies all around, and now he has decided he wants to build a house for the Lord. And the Lord says, David, I'm going to build you a house, and your son will build me a house. And that is a wonderful thing. That's the basis for revival. I mean, look at the prayer David prays. He is revived by what the Lord has said, but like so many times, right after great revival comes great trial. And in the case of this next passage, one of the greatest trials for the new Christian is found. It is. It's found here. We're going to read it, and then we're going to turn over and read the parallel passage in 1 Chronicles. But first, 2 Samuel chapter number 8, verse number 1. And after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Methegammah out of the hand of the Philistines. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. And David hawked all the chariot horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. All right, stopping there and going to 1 Chronicles 18. 1 Chronicles 18, verse 1. Now after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them, and took Gath and her towns out of the hand of the Philistines. And he smote Moab, and the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. And David smote Hadarezer, king of Zobah, unto Hamath, as he went to establish his dominion by the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots and 7,000 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. David also hawked all the chariot horses, but reserved of them 100 chariots. All right. You know, as a young Christian, after going through a great revival in my life. I say young Christian. I'd been a Christian for 8 years. I've been born again, and I was 8 spiritual years old when I saw my first real revival. I was born again in 1982, in July of 1982, and I had real problems with doubts. I did, as a young man, and it was my own fault. It was my own fault because I was filling my head with things of the world instead of things of God. And that is the seed of doubt. When you fill your head and fill your spiritual stomach with the things of the world, then you lose sight of the Lord. And according to what Peter writes, you can even forget that you were ever redeemed from your sins. You can. That's why we're supposed to add. We need to add to our faith and add to what comes after the faith and add what comes after that. And we're supposed to add to what we have continually. It's not a once and done thing. Salvation is not once and done. Now, it's eternally secure. You're born again once. But salvation is a continuous process. You'll never get unsaved. Let's make that clear. You are eternally secure. But it's not something you're done with until you get to the presence of the Lord. That's why Paul says, work out your own salvation. And that phrase, work out, is identical to the phrase that's used today when people go to the gym to work out. They're exercising it. Exercise your salvation. Practice it. It's not something that you're born again and then you don't have to think about it anymore. It's not the way salvation works. If that's the way it worked for you, then perhaps you need to follow what Peter writes and examine yourselves whether you be of the faith or not. But as a young Christian, I had a lot of self-doubt. I didn't doubt the Lord. I doubted myself. I doubted that I did things right. I doubted that I did what I was supposed to do, that I said the right words, you know, as if saying the wrong words can keep the Lord from saving you. When you're born again, you're born again. And everybody's rebirth, new birth story is different. That's what testimony is all about. They have common themes. It's like a rainbow. All rainbows look alike, but no two rainbows are identical. You know, different lengths, different widths, different positions in the sky depending on where the sun is and where the rain is, and different brilliances. Every rainbow's unique, even though they all look the same. Same thing's true with salvation, being born again. Your story, your testimony is unique, even though the salvation is the same. It took the same blood. Jesus paid the same price. The sovereign grace of God does the same work in every Christian's heart. But every Christian has a different testimony, different witness. That different witness is what comes into play in today's message, by the way. Differences of witness, because different people have different perspectives. But as a young Christian, I had a lot of self-doubts. And my first real revival was Sherathon 1990. Now, I'd been in meetings and been in revivals, and I'd heard some fantastic sermons over the years. But it wasn't until 1990's Sherathon that I really saw, that I saw real Holy Ghost revival at a personal level. Now, I'd seen it in church. I'd seen some things happen, but I had not really experienced it myself. I'd experienced the sweet Spirit of God many times. I had experienced the conviction of God many times. I experienced tears and burdens many times. But as far as a wide open, out of the banks, shouting service, that was something that I was not used to at that age. And so 1990, 8 years after I was born again, I got into my first real revival. And I got in to that and started playing bass with the gospel group, with Anchor to the Cross, and things were going well. and did that for a little over a year. And because of my own pride, I needed to be removed from that position, and the Lord needed to teach me a few things. But that little over a year, from Sheraton 1990 to April of 1991, some of my best memories is from that time. Some of my best memories, going to radio rallies and playing bass and watching people get right with the Lord. It was a great time in my life. And that's what David is experiencing here. He's experienced rest from the Lord. The Lord's given him rest from his enemies all around. And now he's thinking about building the Lord a house. And the Lord's told him that he's going to have a house, that the Lord's going to build him a house. And David gives that wonderful, marvelous prayer of thanksgiving that we went over and looked in detail at a couple of weeks ago. Now it's post-revival. Revival's over. And here come the Philistines. Actually, he goes to the Philistines. They're not attacking him. He goes and captures towns from them. And then he goes and fights Hadadezer. Same name. If you pronounce it the way the Spanish-speaking people pronounce it, the R and the D are very close to the same sound anyway. And so it's just the southern drawled R is what makes it sound different to our ears, in this area of the country at least. But Hadadezer and Hadadrezer are very similar. Similar spellings, same name, same person, same king. And the only thing that might get you stumbled up is the difference in the town of the Philistines. And in 2 Samuel, a town's named. In 1 Chronicles, a different town's named, but it's Gath and her towns. So the town mentioned in 2 Samuel is probably one of the towns next to Gath. And it is a true statement to say he captured Gath and these other towns, and in 2 Samuel just mentioned one of the towns. That's perfectly fine. But as a young Christian, one of the most disturbing things that you can do is to come across what appears to be a contradiction in the Word of God. I know this from experience, personal experience. Nothing will test your faith quite like finding what you think is a contradiction in Scripture. And, you know, there's a whole pile of works been written about this chapter. These two chapters have many, many, many books written about this, or at least they mention this. The world raises its hand up and says, one passage says 700, the other passage says 7,000 horsemen. Which one's right? They don't agree. They contradict each other. And the true biblicist, the true Bible believer, the true King James Bible believer is left in a bit of a pickle, because the word hundred and the word thousand are two different things. And the world would say, no matter how you slice it, you're looking at scribal error. And if you can have scribal error here, you can have it anywhere. So that's the problem. That's the problem. If there's errors anywhere, then there can be errors, well, anywhere. And I believe in divine inspiration of the Scriptures. I also believe in divine preservation of the Scriptures. And I believe the King James Version is divinely preserved for English speakers. Now, is it the Bible for every language? No, it's not. It is the Bible for English speakers. And I believe that. That is my faith. That is what I believe and what I teach and how I will stand. Well, Brother Lamar, how do you reconcile these two passages? In one place it says 700 horsemen. In another place it says 7,000 horsemen. That's a difference. In one place that means they had a total of 27,000 men taken. And then the other it's 20,700. Which one's right? And as a young Christian, that really bothered me. It really did. And it was shortly after the Lord had to kind of kick me off of my high horse in April of 1991. I remember extremely well. I remember it extremely well, the situation that occurred. And it was my own fault. It was my own fault for pride. I take the full blame for everything that happened that created the situation that I found myself in. It's my own fault. And I take the full responsibility for it. I needed to learn a few lessons. You know, life, Christian life, is a bed of roses. There are some blossoms, but there's a whole bunch of thorns. There are. Of course, the roses are worth the thorns. The sweet smell of the rose, the sweet look of the rose, the wonderful colorations of roses, the beauty of a rose is tempered by the ruggedness of the rose bush. And rose bushes and rose briars are some of the most prickly things known to man. They are. I'm not a fan of rose bushes. I love to see roses, but I am not a fan of rose bushes. They're just, no matter how you hold them, they will get you. And they hurt when they get you. Especially if you're on the lawnmower and you're mowing around the rose bush and you get just a little too close and that rose bush reaches out and grabs your cheek. You ever had that happen? Ain't no fun, is it? Well, that's the Christian life. Because while great revival will give you faith, it's easy to have faith when you're being revived. Because you're walking by sight. You're seeing the work of God. Faith is not about walking by sight. Faith is about walking well by faith. The just shall live by his faith in the Old Testament, and the just shall live by faith, quoted in the New. Faith is not easy. You may be going through a great trial, whether it be health or wealth or lack thereof. You know, there's all kinds of trials, family troubles, health problems, cancer. Cancer is one of the biggest. Cancer is the most accurate type of sin that there is. Because cancer, just like sin, the longer you let it fester, the worse it is. And there comes a place where there's not much you can do about it. There's not much you can do about it. Sin's that way. Sin's just like cancer. If you excise it quickly, then you can have a full recovery. But if you let it spread and let it get into other things, the recovery may mean you being removed from ministry. It may even mean you being removed from this life by the Lord, saved as by the skin of your teeth. Just depends on the sin, depends on how long you let it fester. And sin and cancer are very much alike. You may be going through a trial. And you may go through an experience where it doesn't seem like God's anywhere near, that your prayers seem to be bouncing off the ceiling and not going anywhere. I certainly have had times like that. And after a great revival in my life for a little over a year, it was a little over a year, it was almost continuous. And then I had to be taken down a notch. And buddy, did the Lord ever take me down a notch. And he gave me warning of it. He gave me warning a couple of months before at Midway Baptist Church at revival meeting. God showed me, clear as a bell, not in audible words, but deeper than that, in knowledge. I knew what was getting ready to happen. I could see it, and I knew there wasn't one thing I could do about it. And it happened. just exactly the way God showed me it would. And it was one of those experiences I'll never forget. God had it under control. God knew what was going on. God told me what was going to happen. He told me why it was going to happen. He said, "You got too big for your britches, boy. I'm going to take you down a notch, and here's how I'm going to do it." And he showed that to me just crystal clear, and it happened just exactly the way he showed me. But finding what you think are contradictions in the Scriptures are some of the most trying things you can do as a young Christian. It was for me. And I still remember the first time I read these two passages and compared them. I thought to myself, how in the world can this be reconciled? The world would say, oh, scribal error. You don't have a perfect Bible. Leave that tenet of your faith on the cutting room floor, because it's obvious from the wording that there's a problem here. But the true Bible believer is going to say, Lord, I don't know the answer, but I believe your Scripture is still perfect. Both of them are right. 700 is correct. 7,000 is also correct. Now, we've talked before about how that 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles are written at different time periods. They're transcribed, rather, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost at different time periods by different people. Now, here's one of the more interesting facets of this. For the armies of the day, a horseman is a subset of footmen. A footman could be, a horseman could be considered a footman if that horseman is off of his horse. So at the beginning of the battle, you could say, well, there were 7,000 horsemen slain with their horses. And at the end of the battle, you could say, well, there were only 700 horsemen left, and they were slain. Both statements are true. Because if you slay 7,000, by definition, you have slain 700. But perhaps those were horsemen that were just happened to be on foot at the time. Maybe the horses were taken by surprise, and David killed off 6,300 horses first, and then slew the footman and the horseman. Because, see, footman includes the horseman. There were 20,000 slain, 700 of which were horsemen that were mounted and riding at the end of the battle, and 7,000 were trained horsemen, but they might not have been on horses when they were slain. See, it's just a different way of counting the same people, because they're all within that 20,000 footmen. And once you realize that, once you realize they're just, that the chronicler is just counting it a little differently than the writer, the transcriber of 2 Samuel, once you realize they're accounting for the same people in different ways, and there was 1,000 chariots, there were footmen on some of those chariots, there were horsemen on some of those chariots, and some of them were counted as horsemen by the chronicler that were not counted as horsemen by the transcriber of 2 Samuel. But it totaled 20,000. There's not a contradiction there. It's just a different perspective, similar to the perspectives given by the Gospels. The Gospels have different perspectives. It's not that they contradict each other. There's different perspectives. And so that's where the 700 versus the 7,000 go to. But as a young Christian, child of God, study it. Don't just automatically say, this contradicts because I don't understand it. Take the time to understand it, and God will give you the rewards. All right. I know contradictions can trouble anyone. They certainly have troubled me over the years. But as I've matured as a Christian, I've realized that contradictions are totally because of my limited perception of an infinite God. His ways are not our ways. His ways are past finding out. And sometimes he puts things that appear on the surface to be contradictions to test our faith in what His Word has to say. All right. I want to thank you for listening to the podcast today. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that's Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And the Lord willing, we'll see you here again next week for the I Want to Know More podcast.